This is a weekend that is celebrated for most Christian churches around or in the Christian world. Tomorrow is Easter. Yesterday was, how do you call, Holy Friday? Good Friday. Okay, I was trying to translate that from Portuguese. We have Holy Thursday. And all right. And this is the Holy Sabbath. But I want to tell you a story, starting the message this morning, that happened long, long ago. No, it was early in the morning. Very early in the morning, the sun was just appearing in the horizon. But from their prison cell, they could hear a crowd of people walking. And they woke up and they went to the tiny, tiny window of their cell to look to the main street of the city, because they want to see what was going on, because it was still dark. And they could hear this multitude of people, and they were talking, but they couldn't hear and understand what they were saying. And they could guess what was going on. These prisoners, they were captured and they were condemned to die. Death penalty, because they were murderers, they abused children, women, elderly, men and women. They were evil. They tried to take control of the country and make war against the Romans. And for those who tried to make war or take control of government, the only condemnation was death. So they could hear and they guessed, they're coming for us. This is our day. This is our day, because last week they came, they took our measurements, our height, our everything. They know now the D-Day has come. So they thought they were living in their last minutes of their lives. The multitude walked, passed by the jail, and they went straight to the governor's palace. As the multitude arrived at the governor's palace, they knocked at the door and they demanded the governor would come out and help us, help them to decide the verdict, to decide and give death penalty to their prisoner. Because according to the country's laws, this man deserved to die. So the governor had to leave his bedroom, his bed, the comfort of his home early, very early in the morning, because these people were knocking at the door. They were shouting, they were asking for him to come out. So he was angry, and then he was displeased, he was disturbed, and he was, decided to come out, take the matter into his hands, and finish with it as soon as possible. He had decided in his heart that he would give the severe penalty for the guilty one, for this criminal. He thought, this man has done so much trouble and so many things terrible that's why they have come so early in the morning, that they could have this man guilty and declared the death penalty. the governor's name? Pilate. And as he came out, he was so angry and decided to make it very short and give the hardest, the painful death on the cross. Because how could someone early in the morning take me out of my bed? When he saw the multitude, he couldn't believe his eyes. They were anger. Their faces was so evil. He had never seen anything like that. He could imagine who the guilty one was, who the murderer, who these, you know, imposter was, who was the evildoer. By his surprise, when he looks at his right hand, expecting to see someone evil, he saw someone filled with peace, with this calmness, and with this love in his eyes. And the multitude was pointing at him and saying, "We have brought this man here because he's saying that he is the king of the Jews, and we have no king but Caesar. He is an imposter." You know, when you turn on your TV in Discovery Channel, Code Files, or you turn on in this core TV and you see judgment of people that has done evil things, and you look at their faces and you, no wonder, look at that face. You can see that they are evil. You're just afraid of looking to this murderer, to this child abuser, to this killer. You can say, well, it's not going to be, you know, difficult for the judge to decide the case, because you can look at his or her face and you can see that the person has this evil look. But Pilate would look at Jesus and see kindness, would see love, would see compassion. He heard about Jesus from long ago, about how he was seeking, healing the sick. He was giving sight to the blind. He was making the lame walk again. He heard that this man was even bring the dead to life. And all these people, have they lost their minds? What happened? And Pilate brought Jesus into his chamber. And looking at Jesus, he said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Not expecting Jesus' answers, Jesus looked at him and said, "Do you say that because you believe, or because you have been told that?" That was a surprise. Am I a believer? Or am I just saying that because someone told me, someone taught me that Jesus is the king of the Jews? That made him angry, because that was a confrontation. He had to make a decision. Was he a believer? Or he was just inquiring by just in case? When you look at Jesus and you ask Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king of humanity?" Are you asking that just because you have been told that? You have been taught that way? Or it is because you believe from the bottom of your heart? So he walked out. And Pilate was determined to deliver Jesus. make him a free man, to take him somehow of this whole trouble. Because he knew in his heart, although he was a man that has done so many terrible things in his past, he was bought to make false judgments, to condemn people to death. He knew, but this man was different. And actually, his wife had told him, "Don't you dare do anything to this man, because I had a dream about this man. And don't you dare to do anything against this man." And he was troubled. How can I now free this man? So he had an idea. And he thought, "Oh, this is going to be good. It's going to be very easy." He told his guards to bring those three prisoners from the jail. And one of them, he was very known. His name was Barabbas. Wow, Barabbas. He was the most fierce man. Everybody was afraid of him. And I know that among the multitude, there were those that lost, beloved ones because of his evil deeds. Among that multitude, there were fathers that lost their sons. There were mothers that lost their daughters because of him. It was not a difficult matter, to deliver Jesus, when he thought, "I would present Barabbas before the multitude." So they brought Barabbas and presented before the multitude. "Here I have Jesus, the one you called your king. And here I have Barabbas. Which one should I deliver to you?" As our custom in this day, in this holiday, we always deliver someone you ask. "Do you want to set free this man? Full of compassion, kindness, and love, who have done so many beautiful things for your nation, who have given sight to the blind, who have delivered men from evil spirits, who have been given life to the dead, or you want me to set free before you Barabbas, a murderer, an abuser, a traitor, a robber? Who do you want me to set free before you?" What was the decision? He couldn't believe Pilate. He couldn't hear. He couldn't believe his ear. The multitude was angry, called, "Crucify this Jesus! Crucify this Jesus! Set free Barabbas!" But not only Pilate couldn't believe his ears, Barabbas himself couldn't believe that. "Are you really sure? You're going to set me free?" And he looked at Jesus and saw this man. He had this beautiful appearance. It was not about his face. It was not about his body. It was not about his personal, physical appearance. But it was something else that came from inside. It came from love. Has the world gone crazy? They are setting me free when they know that I will go out here and kill their boys, their girls. That I will rob their houses, their farms. I will cause so many pains to young women. Are they really sure? What is happening here? What is happening? I can't believe it. But the crowd would cry, "Give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. Crucify Jesus. He's not our king. He's not our savior. Crucify him." Make this story short, Pilate ask for some waters, washed his hands as he could with washing his hands be innocent of the blood of Jesus. The tradition says that after that occasion when Pilate washed his hands and set Barabbas free and condemned Jesus to death, he got crazy. And he would always wash his hands every day, constantly washing his hands, because he couldn't believe that he couldn't deliver Jesus from the hands of that evil people. Barabbas was set free. He walked that stairs and got lost among the multitude. Tradition says that he got converted, but we don't know. Would it be so awesome, right? To get in heaven and see that because of that moment he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. But we don't know. So Jesus was condemned to die. But there was a problem. There was no cross for Jesus. Because he had to be judged. He had to have a fair trial. He had to wait until they prepared a cross proper for him, for his height, for his body weight. What do we do now? Okay, we're going to use Barabbas' cross. We set him free. Let's use his cross. So Jesus had to die in a cross that did not belong to him. If there was someone who could say that Jesus died on my cross, that was Barabbas. But it was just Barabbas' cross that Jesus died that day. When Jesus took the weight of that cross, it was just not the weight of the cross of Barabbas. It was your cross. It was my cross. Jesus took the weight of each one of us here. The cross that belonged to you and to me, that we should have died on that cross that day, is that I'll take his place. About some 800 years before that day, a prophet talked about it. Isaiah chapter 53 is one of the most known chapters of the Bible, the most known messianic chapters of the Bible. And Isaiah described it as very, very clear to us, the suffering of this Jesus, of this Messiah, of this Savior. And he started asking this question. So we need to answer this question. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed the message? We have been preaching for centuries. We have been saying that the Messiah will come and take our place. The Messiah will come and take our pain. The Messiah will come and take each one of our sins. The Messiah will come and die on the cross in my place. Who have heard our preaching? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we would desire him. We always try to portray Jesus as someone beautiful, as someone strong, as someone, you know, that has this face that everyone would be attracted, as if he was a Hollywood, you know, actor. But Isaiah was saying that Jesus, he didn't have a beautiful physical appearance. There was nothing that you and I could look at him and be attracted. Physically, there would not be anything that would tell us that he indeed was the Messiah. Actually, that's one of the reasons the Jews rejected him, because they look at him and say, is this our Messiah? Is this our King? No, we could be. He needs to be strong. He needs to be a warrior. He needs to be someone that we could, you know, just look at him and desire him. And Isaiah said, he was despised and rejected by the Jews. Is that what your Bible says? To whom? By man. By mankind. You see? Sometimes we tend to believe that it was the Jews who killed Jesus. It was the Jews who condemned Jesus to die. We tend to believe that it was, you know, all the Jews' fault. But Isaiah is saying here that it was mankind who rejected him. Was mankind that said, crucify him, crucify him. Was mankind, it was you and me that said, let us go free Barabbas and crucify this Jesus. Do you know how do you do that? How do you know? Do you know how I do that? Each time I decide to go astray from the truth. Each time I know that Jesus is telling me, go this way. This is my way. Walk through the narrow way. Because that way will lead you to me, the eternal life. But we decide to go the broad way. We decide to go, you know, our own way. We are crying just with that multitude over there. Crucify him. Crucify him. It was not just the weight of our cross, but we were there when they said, crucify him. Surely, it says here, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God. He deserves that. It is God who is punishing him for what he is. Have mankind lost its mind, rejecting their Savior? And crying, crucify him. But he didn't open his mouth. Do you know why? Because he loves you. He didn't open his mouth because he came to save you, to save me. And he didn't care. He was despised, yes. But I love him. I love her. I will die for him. I will die for her. I don't care how much pain. I don't care how much suffering. I don't care the weight of that cross. But I will die for him because I love him. God in Jesus was decided to love you. There is a story that happened in the 19th century in Russia. Alexander the Third. He was a very mean ruler. He was known to be very rough, rude with the Jews that lived in Russia by then. And as he was mean and rough and tough and evil, his wife was known by his gracious sweetness and compassion toward a human being. And one day a prisoner was brought to him, and he decided to send that man to confinement. And he wrote, "Forgiveness impossible. Send him to exile in Siberia." His wife, when had the access to the letter, she decided to make a very tiny change that would change everything completely. She changed the comma. The letter said, "Forgiveness impossible. Send him to exile in Siberia." So his wife changed the comma and wrote the following: "Forgiveness impossible to send him to exile in Siberia." Can you just imagine? A comma could decide now the destiny of someone. Forgiveness impossible to send him to exile in Siberia. And God, through Jesus, changed the comma of our destiny. Because when we sinned, our destiny was forgiveness impossible. Send them for eternal death. But then Jesus came and he died on the cross. And now with his blood, he changed that comma. And now Jesus, with his blood and with his forgiveness, he's telling you, forgiveness impossible to send to eternal death. This is amazing. What his death meant to each one of us. His death, his suffering, his pain brought us peace, brought us joy, and gave us the opportunity to have a destiny, eternal life with this Jesus. Amen. I just wonder one thing. We always talk about when we are in heaven, we're going to forget everything about this world. I wonder if we're going to be able to forget his suffering. Because each time we look at his face, each time we hold his hands, each time you look at his feet, you're going to see the marks of that day when he died with his arms open wide for you and for me. For eternity, we are going to be grateful for this amazing love. And we're going to remember that one day, before we were even born, he carried our cross. Let's remember this every day. Not just now, but let's remember each morning as we open our eyes that we have a Savior. That we have a God that died in my place. So I have forgiveness. Impossible to send to eternal death. God bless you.